This Torah class is brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.
Okay, Bruchim Aboim. Welcome everyone. We're continuing in Daf HaShavua. Today we're learning Ayin Vav Amud Aleph. We're going to try to do Ayin Vav Amud Aleph now and Ayin Vav Amud Beis in a bit. Ayin Vav Amud Aleph begins by discussing a stira in the Mishnah. The Mishnah on the bottom of Ayin Hei Amud Aleph brought the following contradiction. If someone had mumin, a woman was found with imperfections. If she's still in her father's house after Erusin, then the burden of proof rests on the father to prove the mumin came after and not before. Once she did nesu'in and she entered the rishus of the Baal, the husband has to bring proof that the mumin were existing before Erusin. So it's a stira, because the reisha implies the burden of proof is on the father, and which means that the husband wins and we don't believe the woman, because we say cheskas mamain prevails. That seems to be the opinion of Rabbi Yehoshua. Mashein ken the seifa, that the burden of proof rests on the husband. That means that the woman is in the right. If the woman is in the right, that means we follow cheskas haguf. That seems to follow the opinion of Rabban Gamliel. That being the case, it's a stira between the Reish and the Seifa. So we've seen a number of possible answers. The first answer we saw was Rabbi Elazar on Ayin Hei Amud Beis, who says Tavra, that the author of the Reisha is not the author of the Seifa. Namely, the author of the Reisha is Rabbi Yehoshua, who says we follow Cheskas Mamain. And in that case, the burden of proof would be on the father even after Nisuan. The Seifa is going like Ram Gamliel, that we say Cheskas Aguf, and the burden of proof is on the husband, but the burden of proof would be on the husband even if they were found after Erusin. That's Rabbi Elazar. Then we saw the answer of Rava. Rava said the difference between the Reish and the Seifa is really the whole Mishnah is Ram Gamliel, and really we should follow Cheskas Aguf. And Cheskas Haguf should say, even in the Reisha, the burden of proof should be on the Baal, that the Mumin were there before, because Cheskas Haguf says it happened later. However, in the Reisha, we say, Kan Nimtzu'u Kan Hayu. Kan Nimtzu'u Kan Hayu is a... Kan Nimtzu'u Kan Hayu is a Cheskas Haguf killer. The Kan Nimtzu'u Kan Hayu says, if it was found here in the Rishus of the father, then it must have existed the whole time, even before the Erusin. So Rava learns the whole Mishnah as Ram Gamliel. And the reason why we don't follow Cheskas Haguf in the Reisha is Kan Nimtzu'u Kan Hayu. Now we're up to the answer of Rav Ashi. Rav Ashi is on the sixth line. Rav Ashi Amar, Reisha Mana La'aba Biyadcha, V'Seifa Mana Li Biyadcha. Rav Ashi also holds that the whole Mishnah is going like Ram Gamliel. If the whole Mishnah is going like Ram Gamliel, then why in the Reisha is the burden of proof on the father? We should, Cheskas Haguf should say that the Mumin came later and the burden of proof should be on the husband to prove that they were there to begin with. Why don't we use Cheskas Haguf to allow the collection of the Ksuba? The answer is, in the Seifa, she's already did Nesu'in. Since you already did Nesu'in, she's the one who's collecting the Ksuba. She's collecting the Ksuba, she could use her Cheskas Haguf. Mashein ken in the Reisha, she's in her father's household. And we're talking about a Nara. So we're talking about a Nara, then the Ksuba goes to the father. The Ksuba goes to the father. The father cannot use her Cheskas Haguf to be Moitzi Mamain from the husband. So the Reisha is analogous to Mana La'aba Biyadcha. You owe my father a mana. Oh, you owe my father a mana? So me, the Toiveya, cannot utilize the Chazaka, my Chazaka, to collect for my father. The Seifa Mana Li Biyadcha. The Seifa is, she's the one collecting. She could use her own Cheskas Haguf to bolster her claim that the Mumin developed later. But the father cannot use her Cheskas Haguf to bolster his claim that the woman developed later. It would come out then that if she was not a Nara, if she was older, if the case was she was older, and then she's the one collecting the ksuba, then the halacha would be, even if the mumin were found during Erusin, the halacha would be, the burner proof would be on the husband to prove that it came before. So, Esei Rav Acha, Breid Rav Avi, Rav Ashi, Rav Acha, the son of Rav Avi, asked Rav Ashi, Moide Rameir, Rameir's Moide, the mumin haruyin lava ima, mi beis aviha, shal ha'av lahavi raya, that even though in the Seifa we say the husband has to bring a raya, that the mumin were always there, but if it's a type of mum that would typically be there from the beginning, so then the father has to bring a proof that it came later. I, va'amai, why? Why by a mum that could have easily developed before? Then Rameir would agree in the Seifa, the father has to bring a proof that it came later. But at the end of the day, the woman is the one collecting the ksuba, and she should be able to use her cheskas haguf to say that it came later. So I see Tosus asks that this should be a question on anybody, any of the answers of the Gemara. Because according to all the answers of the Gemara, the reason why the husband has to bring a proof in the Seifa that it developed earlier is because of Cheskas Haguf. So it's because of Cheskas Haguf. Why would anyone say that if it's something that could have been there to begin with, the burden of proof is on the father? But the Gemara asks this question on Rav Ashi. Why would Rav Meir be Maida on a mum that's Ruyin Lava Imami Beisavia, that it's on the father to bring a raya? Why don't we say Manali Biyadchahu? Says the Gemara, Hachavamayaskinan Biyaseirais. You know what kind of mum we're talking about? You know when the father has to bring a raya that the mumin developed later? Not a mum that could have been before, a mum that had to be there before. Let's say an extra finger. Let's say he married her and she has 6 fingers. You don't grow 6 fingers. Oh, you know, you ate too much celery. That's why you grew a 6th finger. No, if someone has a 6th finger, it was there the whole time. So then, we're talking, you know when Rameir is Maida, that the father has to bring a raya, that it was there, that it developed later? If it's an extra finger, because an extra finger had to have been there the whole time. So the father has to bring a raya that it developed later. Says Gemara, my raya, Maisi. What kind of raya is the father going to bring that she grew an extra finger later? Says Gemara, no. Of course it was there the whole time. But the father has to bring a proof. Maisi raya derav nefayesu. He has to bring a proof that the husband saw it and was aware of it and he came to terms with it. Okay.
So the father's not coming to say about the extra finger, just he's coming to testify that the husband had seen it.
Right. And he was aware of it. Not that it developed later, it for sure developed before, but that the husband was aware, exactly. Fine. Now we're going to talk about the infamous case of someone who exchanges a cow for a donkey. Chalipin. The way chalipin works is if, let's say, I have a cow, and Mike has a donkey, and we want to trade, because you need a cow, you like milk, you like to have the convenience of having a cow in your kitchen, so this way, it's like a Poland Spring machine. You just, you know, whenever you need milk, you just give a little squeeze. And I need a donkey, because, you know, it's always good to have a donkey around. And we want to switch. Now, the way Kinyan Chalipin works is once one party does Mashiach on one animal. So when I do Mashiach on your donkey, you're kind of my cow, wherever the cow might be. Now what would be if I pull your donkey and it turns out later we look for the cow and the cow's dead. And we don't know if the cow died after I pulled your donkey, then your cow died. If the cow died before I pulled your donkey, my cow died. So Gemara talks about the following scenario. Amar Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmuel, Hamachlif Parah B'Chamara, one who exchanges a cow for a donkey. Umashach Bal HaChamara Sapara, and the owner of the Chamar pulled the cow. So it's the opposite of what we just said. So you're the owner of the donkey, I'm the owner of the cow, and you pulled the cow. I didn't have a chance. The owner of the cow did not have a chance to pull the donkey. The donkey's dead. So the question is, when did the donkey die? Did the donkey die before you pulled the cow, and then your donkey died? Or did the donkey die after you pulled the cow, and my donkey died? So, you know, who's in... What should we do over here? We exchanged the cow for the chamar, and you did mashicha on the para, and I didn't have a chance to do mashicha on the chamar, and now the chamar is dead. So halacha is, the bal hachamar has to bring a raya, al bal hachamar lahavi raya. It is upon the owner of the donkey, that's you, to bring a proof, shahaya chamoroi kayam, that his donkey was alive, b'shas mashichas para, at the time he pulled the cow. So in other words, we're exchanging a cow for a donkey. You pulled the cow. You're the bal hachamar. You pulled the cow. And I didn't have a chance to pull the donkey. The donkey's dead. Who does the burden of proof fall on? Well, let's think for a moment. I would have said, you're the owner of the donkey. The donkey has a cheskas chayim. The donkey has a chazak, it was alive. So we should say it died at the last possible time. Probably it died when it was already mine. Plus it died in my rishus. Kan nimtzu kan hayu. Shouldn't we say it died in my rishus? We don't say that. We say that it was dead to begin with. Which is unusual. Why? What about the cheskas chay? What about the fact that it died in my rishus? No, it seems we say it died while you still owned it. The simple reason for that is, here there's a question regarding the whole transaction, whether it was ever effective to begin with. Since there's a question whether the transaction was ever effective to begin with, then we say, it's like b'chezgas, it was not a good transaction. Moreover, there's something called a marikama. Marikama means you're the original owner of the donkey. That ownership, Chazaka says, remains until we could prove it changed. So the halacha is, it's on the owner of the donkey to prove that the donkey was alive at the time of the Mashiach of the para. Vitana tuna. Vitana tuna means the tana of the Mishnah that speaks about Mumin supports this teaching. There are different ways of learning Vitana tuna. Vitana, and it was taught tuna, no, visana, in other words, it was taught tuna, like this tana. It was taught like this tana, or vitana tuna. The tana of the Mishnah learnt the same teaching. But however you translate the words, the expression vitana tuna means this teaching of Shmuel is supported by the tana of the Mishnah by a kala. Okay? This is Ayin Vav Amud Aleph. If you're around in about 30 minutes, we'll do Ayin Vav Amud Beis, okay? That's Ayin Vav Amud. Okay, thank you very much. Kol Tov, everyone. Be well.
You've just experienced another Torah class brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.